Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev, a Black British mother of West Indian descent with two children aged 19 and 17 based in London, UK. Ooh, it's the 10th of August 2020 and it is one of the hottest days that are here. I'm here hiding in my kitchen with a fan, just about to link up with a friend of mine who I haven't seen for a while. And I thought it would be nice if you came along and were listening to our conversation, because we haven't seen each other, as I said, for a bit. But anyway, the rest of the introduction is that I'm not an expert of any kind, just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences around parenting, amongst other things, in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So you already know that the hashtag means that we talk about anything that relates to us as human beings being parents. But anyway, I'm going to give my friend a call. Why don't you stick around, grab a beverage or an ice lolly, because it is that hot, and relax with a fan like I'm trying to do. Or what you could do is just potter around as you listen to this. Anyway, let's see what we're in store for, because I haven't spoken to Jay for a long, long, long time. So be back. So I'm just going to say welcome to Jay. And we are now live, Jay. I know you've had an active day.
Yes.
So I was just introducing that we haven't spoken to each other, we haven't spoken for a long time, and that we saw each other at the African Emancipation Day on the 1st of August in Brixton.
Yes, right.
And we were just having so much to talk about. It was just like, so much is going on for you. I just thought it would be better to try and catch up, basically, and you tell me Wagwan.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on, and since the day of that crazy day when everyone saw Patrick Hutchinson lift up the white EDL, ex-police officer, racist police officer, after he was getting hiding because he was chanting and inciting racist views to the young kids. That day kind of changed all of our lives, because me, Patrick, and the rest of the guys, we went down to the march to actually just oversee our kids and make sure that they don't get into trouble, don't do anything silly that they would do. Sorry about that. would regret the length of life, you know, because all what the police officers were doing, they were just
no, you've gone into a vortex. I can't hear you. Yo, Jermaine. Can't hear you, man. That's all. That's.
Hang on, can you hear me?
A little bit better, but you seem to be eating up. You're not clear. You're not clear.
Hear me?
Try again. Go on.
Sorry about that. So yeah, so from when Patrick lifted up the boy, the ex-police officer, and some paparazzi got a stab of that,
yeah.
And then from that iconic picture and that movement, what we did, we've created what would we call it? It was not literally we created a movement called UKI, United to Stand and United to Change and Inspire.
United to Change and Inspire.
Yes,
but I think. When you were talking to me at this march, the Emancipation Day, I was really interested as to why the four of you, because you're all four black men, and this is in response to what was happening with George Floyd, yes. and the sort of marching and the protesting that was happening in the UK at the time. And you and your friends, you and these other guys, you were like, we know that our young people are going to go to this event, but your motivation was about going to protect the youth so that they wouldn't do something as stupid or do anything stupid.
Yeah, yes, because when I was there, when the police officer and the rest of them charged the young crowd, and the kids, they're protesting, and there's Turks on the left of them, and then seeing 12 horses charging down at them. How do you expect anyone to react when you see a 9-foot horse charging down at you or bigger? And so they were screaming, making up their noises and doing whatever they're doing. The police horse went crazy, carried on galloping into the crowd. The lady on the horse got smashed into a lamppost.
Right.
How they tried to make it out as if the young kids incited that when there was no need for any riot horses to be there in the first place. And then the riot police came out and started manhandling the young girls and boys and held them in from about 5:30 up to 1:30 a.m. 1:30 a.m.
So hang on. When you say kettle, you mean they specifically kept them in a particular location?
Kept them in that area. They had all the police either side of them, and no one could get out one by one, asking for ID and information, like all of them did in the film.
So obviously, like any human being and any adult, if you're prevented from moving or leaving, and you're herded like animals in the space, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to get upset, and you're going to want to retaliate you're going to get angry. Not even retaliate, you're just going to get angry.
At that time, it was raining cold, people wanted to go home. It was raining cold, people wanted to go home, and then the police officer said, "No, we're going to keep you here. You know?
Go on.
And when I was there, I was just like, wait, there's no big people, there's no adults, there's no, like you got this forever family and everybody else, right? I don't know if they were not at that point there. Well, it's a new organisation, so I shouldn't even mention their name, really. But they said that they're to protect our kids and stuff like that, and they kind of started their movement from that same day, because they were in Trafalgar Square area, actually hands-on with the EDL.
Right.
Early on in the day, so this is how they kind of born. But I didn't see a lot of the familiar faces from Forever Family in there looking after the kids at that time. And I was just thinking, we need adults here. We just need adults here.
You guys all went down.
Yeah, because the reason why, I probably would have went down until the social media allowed the racist terrorist Tommy Robinson to spout his views on social platform and telling all the football hooligans to come to and defend our statues, what are boarded up, come down there, get to central London. So all these racist thugs decided to come from around England to central London to defend a statue that is boarded up.
Right.
And then to entice racism against their local British citizens, and thinking it's a nice day out. So they must have got there from 9, got drunk by 12, what they got home by 1. But no, we come out late, don't we? So we was there to the end.
And so, you know, I know that we've got a lot to talk about, but I think I know that your friend, the iconic photo resulted, Patrick going on to Breakfast TV, his children going on to television to talk about what they thought about their father's heroic act in the midst of all of this. And as you say, that's just a continuation of where you guys were talking about, well, where are we getting involved to protect our young people? Because you're a father, aren't you?
Yeah. So all of us are all fathers, and Patrick's even a granddaddy. So, you know what I'm saying? So I can't sit down and watch on Instagram or anything like that how things could have unfolded, how things could have been. Because just imagine if we didn't go down there on that day, right? And that white racist ex-police officer got killed, the narrative would have been completely different. You think we would have had that that Emancipation Day in Brixton? That would not have happened.
Right.
That would not have happened. Yeah, all the street parties, yeah, all the other street parties are not getting locked down. They would not be happening. The whole atmosphere regarding black people and the police would have been 100 times worse than what it is right now.
So as a black father, and as somebody who's looking at this from the outside, you decided, the four of you just decided, we're going to go independently to try and protect.
You said the word independently. We are not associated with any form of group out there. We're not affiliated with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We went out there as fathers, going out there just to oversee, steer people in the right direction. Kids out there graffitiing in front of police officers. Why are you doing that, brother? If you're ever going to do something like that, do it around the corner. Don't do it in front of policemen, because the police officer grabbed the kid. They grabbed him. I took him off the police. I took the young boy off the police officer. He looked at me. I looked at him. He knew. Yeah, he's an older man. We just looked at each other and knew this is stupid. Both of us, me and the police officer, looked at each other and go, this kid is dumb. There's like 80 police officers behind him, and he thinks he can just stand there and graffiti.
And
little things like that we were doing.
Right. And I think the bigger question for me is, well, it's not even a question. I think it's just an observation, because I think a lot of people just assume that our culture, we don't have a sense of community, and we don't care for our young, because the media try and give that impression that
100%
we don't care.
You said it. It's a media plant. What's been planted in from years and years and years ago, that the black family don't care about their kids and stuff like that. You know, it's been painted like that for years. Like I explained to you before, where the government is trying to demasculate the man, the black man, so that the mother can have housing support, so that she can have her own home, but she can't have the father in the house. If the father in the house, she's not going to get support. So they're trying to like stop them getting work, stop the black woman empowering herself by working, because they're not getting the jobs. They're not giving the black man the jobs that they should get in the first place. So he's struggling. And then they say, okay, don't worry, we'll give you benefits, but you can't have a male premise in the house. Why wouldn't you have a male man in the house when you have children?
Well, I mean,
yeah?
I hear all of that, and I think, you know, I've on these podcasts, I've had more men talking. Not that the women aren't lining up, they are, but I think one time one person asked me, why are you having a man speak about parenting? And I was like, because there's two of us involved in this, whether we're living in the same space or not, we have to still rear this child together. You know what I mean? And we need to hear the other perspective, the other side. And my children, and I'm speaking from personal view, my children, even though me and their father are no longer living together, they still need to have his input, because they need to know who he is, and he needs to know who they are. And this helps them for later. You understand? So I think it's really interesting you saying that to go there to protect the young, to help the young and to defend
100%.
Them.
Because these marches are not even for me or for you. These marches are for our kids and our kids' kids. We've done our marching already, and we just turned them a cheek. We've done it. So we're gone. We're just settled with how society is now. But our kids are not ready to settle with what they've been given, because they want to take what's rightly theirs.
Yeah.
And that's equality, you know, fairness. Yeah, get treated the same way like anybody else. That's what they want, and they're not going out quietly, you know. But they just need that guidance to say, yo, don't do that silly thing. Don't climb up a flag. What you climb up a flag going to do for the cause that you're actually doing? Nothing. So get down and let's do this thing, you know.
So
you know, there's a plan after this march. Well, I'm going to march tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. No, where's your manifesto? What is your manifesto? What do you guys want from this? Who are we going to talk to? Who do you want to talk to? What do you want to do? So you can't just go on these marches and just make up noise and expect things are going to change, and then you go home and then you carry on with your wicked bad self in your own community and think that, yeah, society's going to change now. You have to look yourself in the mirror and see how you carry yourself, how you treat your other community brother and sister, black or white. It's not even a black or white thing. I work with mixtures of people. So when I went out there, I was overseeing all colours, not just my black brothers, not just my black sisters. I've got white people in my family, so I can't be racist to them. Why would I want to be racist to someone? But if someone could be racist to me, I would tell them that themselves. You know, just because they are bad and they're rude and they're horrible doesn't mean that I live my life the way they live theirs, bro.
Well, I mean, you know, we could have a whole other discussion about whether or not black people can actually be racist, but it really depends on your... That's a whole nother podcast, mate. But I think because we hadn't seen each other for a bit, you know, it was, and you were talking about, you know, I just think I admired the way in which you independently, collectively decided, you know, let's go and do something that's going to be constructive. And since then, you've set up this organisation.
Yes. So this year we've set
You're
up
walking around, didn't you?
Sorry?
You're walking around, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm banging at my door for one of the members who's come to my house late for a meeting. Sorry about that.
We're trying to listen, listeners. You've come in. If you've just joined us, I'm talking to Jay about so many things. We haven't been able to talk for ages, but Jay is a father, and also he's involved in with four other black fathers who went along to the march in response. One of the protesting marches in response to George Floyd's death, but they went there with the mindset to protect the young people from getting themselves into any more difficulties or and just to make sure that they were taken care of to the best of their ability. And Patrick, his friend, got snapped rescuing somebody from the other side, and that became an iconic picture. Now, the thing is, right, you're busy, I'm busy, right? Because I've got to run off and do an emergency food shop for family. You just rushed in after, and this is not going to be aired until after the birthday surprise, but Jay went out and bought his partner a surprise birthday gift, which he's been running around trying to sort out ever since.
All morning. She's upset that I haven't been calling her because I've been running around for her.
So when she gets home later, you want to tell everybody what you've got her?
I bought her a new car because she deserves it.
Yeah, she deserves it. Well, you know, so we're in the midst. So although we're having a chit-chat around this particular thing, there's far more stuff that we want to talk about. But I'm very mindful that we're both trying to squeeze something into the last 6 minutes, I suppose, of our conversation. But you never really introduced yourself properly, right? I just know you as Jay, but, you know.
Yeah, so my full name is Jermaine Spacey. So I'm one of the new directors of United to Change and Inspire, UKAI. Mm. So we're on social media, so we're on Facebook, Instagram, got a YouTube page coming up. We're transparent. So from when Patrick lifted up the ex-police officer, race-terrorist ex-police officer, we just formed this this community group where we're literally wanting to help community outreach people just one instance. I know a kid who does works with disabled people, teaches them mixed martial arts and mixed martial arts. So he brings in he learned how to sign language himself, paid out his own pocket, setting up his own charity called MMA Rap, and literally he goes to schools and colleges and hospitals and the hospitals and prisons and teaches to get them involved. Yeah. Just because they're disabled doesn't mean that they're not
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so we've got Lee Russell. Lee Russell will be looking after anything. So we've got mentoring, fatherhood, and community outreach. We've got Patrick Hutchinson. He's been looking more into education, Black History Month. I don't believe he even corrected me. We don't talk about Black History Month because it should be a yearly thing.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that he wants to implement into schools. We've got Chris Akokiko. I can't say his name, probably his last name. But Chris, anyway, he's going to be dealing with mental health and stuff like that. And due to the fact that he used to work in Barclays and the way he got treated, he feels that, equal opportunities in all work and walks of life, work, sports, leisure, anything. You know, myself, I'm dealing with youth crime, prison reform, dealing with the police officers, the way they deal with us, and us deal with them as well, because we all still need police officers, no matter what people say. People say defund the police, shouldn't defund the police, just relocate some of the money so we can re-educate them in the way that they need to communicate with the masses in the community, vice versa.
Mm. So what I would like to do is to potentially get a better microphone and really do a proper service to your new company, United to Change and Inspire. I got it, bro. And it would be good to come and because you've got four different men looking at four different things, all fathers, looking at how they can sort of make changes from the community, from grassroots up. Yeah?
100%.
And I just think it's about networking, really, with other organizations, because there's like
100%. We're definitely open to that, to link on and work side by side with people on the watch.
So what I think you need to do then, babes, is send me any links so I can attach it to this, and you know that we organise where we can come back and I can get a proper mic and put it underneath your mouth. You know what I mean? So we can really explore. Because there's a lot that you've put out here on the table, and we haven't even talked about fatherhood for you and becoming a father and what all 100%. That entailed. You know what I mean?
One thing I would say about fatherhood as well, right? There are so many fathers out there doing the right thing and they don't get recognized.
Yeah.
You know? Like I said before, I don't know if I said to you, but I said to another group of girls before, our community does, this is the Black community, we continue the myth as if there's no Black farmers in the household, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like really crazy, because most of my friends who I've grown up with and who I hang around with now, they're 100% involved with their children.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All my brothers, they're involved. Yes? So we need to make that real and make it known. It's the same thing when our community, the Black community, say that I ain't hope for nobody because that's going to change. And we keep on saying that, and that's the same way when our community says that a father's never about, you know, and it's all lies.
Well, the thing is, the reality is you speak to a middle-class white woman and she may have the husband who takes the baby out on a Sunday, but he takes the baby out on a Sunday because 6 days of the week he's present but not present. Do you understand?
100%. I understand that.
So, you know, I mean, you know, it's about, it's for me anyway, as far as I'm concerned, this is about us as a community taking space to talk about stuff so that we can be aware, more aware, and to share our experiences, no matter, even if they're different, we can learn from each other.
Indeed.
You know what 100%. I mean? And I don't always have to agree with you, you know, Jay. You know what I mean?
I will jump on the other side if I want to have a little argument. I have no problem.
Okay, so I just want to thank you for the time that you've given us today. I'm going to listen back and I'll sort this all out. And then what we probably will have to do is organise another time when we can talk about fatherhood for you in more detail, just and when you've got more time, when you're not running around doing surprise birthday presence and meetings that you've got to run off to and so forth. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining me.
No problem, it's a pleasure.
And I look forward to us catching up and talking even more. And to the listeners, thank you very much for listening. This is one of the shortest podcasts we've done. That's 26 minutes. You've done well. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and Google as well. So if you're interested, please like, share, and come back and listen again, because Jermaine will be back. So until then, take care of yourselves, and we are out. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.